On Thursday, New Year's Eve, a special Farm Laborers Wage Board is scheduled to meet and issue a report on the overtime threshold for farm workers in 2021 and beyond, which the Cuomo administration could then implement. The report is due 1 year after the state began mandating the first overtime benefits for farm workers, which kick in at 60 hours a week. Based on the composition of the board and recent comments from members, they appear likely to recommend overtime kicking in at 40 hours, but it's not clear when that threshold would begin. To discuss the board, its mandate, and where things are heading, we spoke Wednesday morning to board member David Fisher, president of the New York Farm Bureau, which represents farming interests in the state. Welcome back to the show, David.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So let's rewind to when you were first appointed to the board. What's your understanding of the mandate? Essentially, what were you tasked to do by state lawmakers and Governor Andrew Cuomo?
The law states that we should listen to testimony from both sides, and then says right there, the wage board shall specifically consider the extent to which overtime hours can be lowered below such amount set in law, and may provide for a series of successfully lowering overtime thresholds if it determines that it needs to be done. So basically, we were supposed to listen to testimony on both sides and decide if it could or should be lowered. And just extremely hard to do since we don't have any data to do that. We're in the first year in the middle of a pandemic with all these changes.
Yeah, considering how the 60-hour overtime threshold was just implemented as a mandate this year, what kind of comments did you hear from people? Because I can't imagine that they had much to say about the consequences, good or bad, of the new overtime threshold.
That was unanimously the consent of the farm community that we need a few years to figure out where this leaves us and where we're at.
And what was the extent of those hearings? Where did you guys go? I mean, this was obviously during a pandemic, so I can't imagine you were taking this show on the road, or maybe you did. And so how did you go about hearing from people?
Well, we had the first one in February, I believe it was, before the pandemic in Albany. And so that was in person. And then when everything shut down, we waited till summer and fall to have, I think we had three more at least. And then there was an opportunity for anybody to submit and written comment. Since the comment periods during oral testimony were limited to 3 minutes, it was hard to say a lot and get into any details. So there were stacks and stacks of paper that we read through with written testimony that was submitted in addition. And the comments closed on October 31st.
Reading all those comments, hearing that testimony, did that sway your attitude about overtime rules in New York, or did it reinforce what you already believe, which seems to be we need more time to assess what's responsible to do here?
Yeah, I think it just reinforced that, you know, people don't know what the effects are, and you know, we need time to look at it and make strategic decisions. It was the law was a compromise at 60 hours a year and a half ago, after many legislators went and talked to people and, you know, farmers and farm workers. There was a big meeting in Western New York where several senators met and had the opportunity just at random to walk through a crowd of at least 300 farm workers that were there and just talk to them and understand and see where they were at. And that's through some of those conversations is where we kind of landed on 60 hours, and it seemed like a reasonable number, and that's where we wanted to kind of stay for a little while.
There have been a number of state panels empowered in recent years that have had the ability to essentially write laws. What is the extent of your power with this board? The report that you guys are due to come out with at the end of the year, like I said, on Thursday, does this carry the weight of law, or is this something where Department of Labor or the Department of Agriculture and Markets will use it as the basis for more of like a recommendation for any future actions that they might take?
I believe it's more of a recommendation to Department of Labor.
on Tuesday during the penultimate meeting, you raised concerns about the Agriculture and Markets Commissioner's Richard Ball's role in this process, suggesting that he was kind of absent through all of this. Can you elaborate on the point you were making, including what seemed to be a concern that the outcome of the board was kind of preordained?
At one meeting, I was told, could be mistaken, that Richard was supposed to be on the agenda, and then the meeting happened without him. I thought maybe it would happen at the next meeting, and it didn't. So I've asked a couple of times why we hadn't heard from him again, and haven't really gotten a good answer. So it just doesn't feel good when that happens. You know, he is a government official. He's a farmer. And as a government official, he's charged with implementing policies. So it just seems like we should, as a wage board, hear from him directly. And I still hope it could happen.
Have you heard from him privately at all?
Richard and I have had some conversations.
Would you care to elaborate on any of those?
I don't know that he knows why he hasn't been asked. So I don't know. I don't know any details on what internally goes on.
We're talking with New York Farm Bureau President David Fisher, who serves on a special state board tasked with potentially determining the future overtime rules for farm workers and is scheduled to make a decision on Thursday that could be implemented by the Department of Labor in the future. During the meetings on Monday and Tuesday, I noticed that Dennis Hughes, the former head of the New York AFL-CIO, who's a member of the board, repeatedly talked about sort of phasing in a lower overtime threshold, getting to 40 hours as the threshold over a reasonable period of time. When you think about that phrase, reasonable period of time, what makes sense to you?
I've been asking for 5 years right along. And the reason I do that is I think we need time to look at the impacts of this and the food system, the fragility of it in New York and across the. And without 3 years of data, it's going to be really hard to know if farmers can afford to pay more, what they can afford to pay, or how to start it. So my logic for saying 5 years is that after the third year, during the fourth year, we should be evaluating data from Farm Credit, from Cornell, from other institutions that work with farm community, and see what it looks like, and talk about it, and talk about the markets and, you know, what's going on around the state at that time to make that determination. And then that would give the farmers a chance, if there was changes, a year's notice, possibly, before they were implemented. So that's why I've been saying 5 years. 3 years of data, a year to look at it, study it, you know, maybe have another wage board or another board of some sort that looked at it, and then some time to give farmers notice so that they would have time to plan their business accordingly, that these changes, if they were implemented or recommended to be implemented, would how they would do their business plan going forward.
What are the ramifications of a lower threshold that isn't necessarily phased in on that timeline, say one that is more accelerated?
I think that's what we don't know, but there's often, without taking time to look at things, unintended consequences. And we've heard from farm workers that they may go to other states where they can work more hours and get more money because a lot of farmers probably can't afford to pay overtime right now. A lot of the commodity prices are the same as they've been for the last 20 or 30 years. So it's just, there's not a lot of room for margin in there. And, you know, as the governor talks about, the state faces pay freezes and layoffs. He knows very well that you can't spend it if you don't have it. And, you know, current market conditions for a lot of these crops, that's what's going on. I said yesterday, you know, we've got apples coming in from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan into our processing plant because they're undercutting prices that New York farmers can afford to pay now with some of the other things that have happened with minimum wage going up. Our New York pay rates are some of the highest in the nation. And, you know, it's not that we don't want to protect and take care of our workers, but they've got minimum wage has gone up. We've got this overtime now. We've got mandatory day of rest. They now have the right to organize. They got paid family leave and sick time and get sexual harassment training. So I think anybody that says our workers aren't treated fairly or protected fairly is that's not the case. We just need to find the right balance to keep farmers in business and producing New York food for New York families.
So the final meeting of the board is scheduled for Thursday afternoon. As we speak on Wednesday morning, do you have any idea of what is going to actually be voted on during that meeting? Have they given draft recommendations? What's this going to look like?
I really don't know. Like I said, I've been asking for some time and a study, and some others are not as willing to do that, want to have a plan to ratchet it down. And I, from the farm community perspective, we just can't agree to that. So we need to see where we go. I really hope the governor gets involved in this conversation. He's invested a lot in agriculture, put millions of dollars into Nourish New York, which is a great example of supporting the farm community and the food insecure. And as I've said other times, when the pendulum swings too fast, there are unintended consequences, and good governance doesn't usually include making radical large changes without looking at all the ramifications. So,
well, and I guess what I'm not clear on, though, is who's actually going to even write these recommendations? Is there staff for the board that's going to just show up with something on Thursday? Is Brenda McDuffie, president of the Buffalo Urban League, who's been kind of acting as the chair, going to write something up for you to vote on? What's it going to look like?
That is the frustration on my end. There hasn't been a lot of communication on any of these things. I quite often don't know the agenda until a few minutes before the meeting or one meeting was canceled. I knew as I was logging on to Zoom to get on the meeting, got a phone call, but it was postponed. So it has been a little bit frustrating to work through the whole process from my end.
Well, we've been speaking with David Fisher. He is president of the New York Farm Bureau and a member of the Farm Laborers Wage Board, which is set to make recommendations on Thursday about overtime threshold for farm workers in 2021 and beyond. David, thank you so much for making the time, and have a great New Year's Eve meeting with the fellow wage board members.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.